Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. JoJo Revicius shaming me with his ability to make that crow call actually sound like a crow. I make it sound like a gazoo. The great gazoo. Or a kazoo, whatever. All right, Dog Pound. Want to have some fun before this game? I bet you do. It's a 4:25 start. That means you can party all day long before this game. But head on over to Dog Pound Drive. That's the free Cleveland Browns fan pregame. Don't miss live music, food trucks, a beer garden, and more, all happening next to First Energy Stadium starting 3 hours before every home kickoff. Don't miss the next Dog Pound Drive pregame before the Browns and the Raiders. That pregame starts at 1:30 on the south side of First Energy Stadium with music from Angry Young Men and EV. Joining us now on the Ohio Business Machines hotline from the Silver and Black Illustrated, Mike Wagaman. Mike, good to be with you, man. Long time no talk. How you doing?
Good, guys. How you guys doing today?
Doing very well. So, Mike, talk to me about the psyche of this Raiders team entering this game on a 12-game losing streak dating back to last year, 0-6 this season. But since Tony Sperano's taken over, very competitive against two good teams in the Chargers and the Cardinals the last two games.
Yeah, you know, walking through the locker room, you know, post-game and even through the week, you'd be very hard-pressed to know that this is a team that's 0-6. I mean, the mood is good. The guys are upbeat. You don't see a lot of guys hanging their heads. You know, I know after the game last week against Arizona, you know, Charles Woodson made some pointed comments when he said, you know, how much worse can it get? And I think as a veteran, a guy who's been around for so long, I think he sees some distressing signals with the team. But the overall mood of the team, like I said, in the locker room seems to be pretty good. And I think some of that is from Tony Sperano. But believe it or not, I think a good deal of that is due to their young quarterback, Derek Carr. This kid has come in, and since Sperano took over and told him, look, this is your team, you got to be the leader here, this kid is amazing. I mean, first off, he's like a little kid, you know, living out a dream. I mean, he just has fun no matter what he's doing. And he bounces around the locker room. He's joking with the defensive guys. He's joking with the offensive guys, poking fun, teasing. And he's really keeping this team loose, which is really, really surprising to me, considering he's a rookie. And you know, he's the one that's really wearing that 0-6.
Just to take a quick step back, shed some light on the differences between Dennis Allen and Tony Sperano. Is it the mood? Is it the accountability he holds with the players too? Is it the toughness? What are some of the differences that, again, that you can see physically by the play on the football field the last 2 weeks?
Tangibly, I think the difference is just that it's a change, a breath of fresh air. You know, at some point when you keep losing and your message is the same from above, that message kind of falls on deaf ears. Tony's come in, like I said, he told Derek Carr, this is your team. You got to take over the leadership role. He pulled a couple of the veterans on defensive side, basically told them the same thing. And so he's more or less giving the team control of itself, whereas Dennis, I think, was maybe trying to control the team himself. And you know, there's good and bad to both sides, I think. But I just think that, you know, schematically, there's not a real big difference. I think defensively, they may be doing some things that Dennis wasn't doing in terms of personnel and things like that. But there's really not a big difference. I think that Tony's just come in and been himself. The players were obviously familiar with him since he's been around for a couple of years as well. So it wasn't like a radical change. But really, I mean, it's just Tony is just, I think more than anything, just a breath of fresh air in the message, the speeches he's giving. And so from that standpoint, that's really the big difference.
There's no question that Cleveland is probably mimicked, or Oakland right now is mimicking Cleveland, in the sense that we've had so much turnover, front office, head coaches, players, that it's really hard to kind of get a grasp on where the team's going. Do you think that all the turnover that they've had, their head coaching-wise, general manager, just kind of all the players that have been in and out the door, do you think that's been detrimental? And do you think that Oakland right now is kind of getting a feel in a direction that they want to go and finally get their foot on solid ground?
I do. I really do. I think that first off, to address the first point, yeah, anytime you have turnover, no matter what business it's in, be it the computer IT tech world or in any sporting, you know, level, sporting league, whatever, you have that constant turnover. There's going to be problems making your product successful because there's no firm, continuous message being sent down from above. And when you look at the Raiders, it became a place where players only went because of the money. flat out. Over the last 10 years, players came here toward the end of their career. They wanted to get another payday, and they knew that Oakland would pay. This was not an ideal situation for any coach, any veteran coach, which is, again, since John Gruden left it, in 2001, there's just been a constant turmoil within the coaching staff and within the locker room. But I think that you've now seen them kind of found some stable ground. And by that, I mean, general manager Reggie McKenzie came in here. He's got the books in order. That was a huge mess. And I think people tend to overlook that when they're so critical of him and so critical of some of the moves he's made personnel-wise. I look at it and say, look, that whole financial situation side of the Raiders was in a huge mess because of the situation where Al Davis was overpaying guys to come here toward the end of their careers, and he was handing out just ridiculous contracts. So Reggie got the books in order. They've got the draft picks back that were traded away. They didn't get them back, but now they're in order. They have all their draft picks. So from that standpoint, from the business side of things, they're in much better shape, far better shape than when he took over, and I don't think he gets enough credit for there. But they, from the player personnel standpoint, obviously they've made some mistakes. Defensively, some of the guys they brought in this offseason haven't panned out. And so that's a reason why they're, sitting here at 0-6 coming into this weekend's game.
Now, one reason for optimism is the quarterback, the rookie, Derek Carr, has looked very good, set a few NFL records, most touchdowns through his first five games, second highest completion percentage ever through his first four games. What have you seen from Derek Carr, your expectations from him in this game on Sunday, and just how optimistic are you guys feeling about him as the quarterback of the Raiders?
I've covered this team since 1996, and I've seen more quarterbacks come and go than I've seen head coaches come and go. I don't believe I've ever seen a quarterback who inspires as much optimism as Derek Carr has. And a lot of that is obviously from what you've seen on the film. You've seen a guy who's made some rookie mistakes, but really he looks like a veteran out there. He's very poised in the huddle, very poised in the pocket, looks comfortable, doesn't get jittery, has a strong arm, can make pretty much all the throws, that they've asked him to. Surprisingly, they haven't stretched the field as much as I thought maybe they might with him back there. But, everything about this kid says, you've got now the quarterback you need. He may not be the franchise quarterback. He may not even be a great quarterback. We don't know yet, but what he's given them is at least a temporary answer to the question of who your quarterback's going to be. And they've been trying to answer that question ever since Rich Gannon stepped away, over a decade ago. And so Derek Carr, I don't want to call him the real deal. We've such a small sample size, six games, but I like this kid. And like I was talking about earlier, his demeanor is just amazing to me. He is just so careless but carefree and just having a good time and enjoying that. And again, I think the veterans in that locker room, some of the other younger players, they really feed off that, because this thing could be really going bad when you're the only winless team in the NFL. There's not much reason to come to work happy and smiling. Derek Carr makes that practice field, that locker room, a much better environment for these guys to come into.
Mike, and another rookie, your top pick overall, Khalil Mack out of the University of Buffalo. Obviously, the Cleveland Browns and the AFC North Division, we don't get to see, out west very often. How have you personally felt he's played thus far, and how would you like to see him progress as a rookie within that defense?
I was really kind of skeptical the first couple games and even into the preseason. Number one, because I thought that the Raiders should have gone after a wide receiver in the draft. And that's not a knock against Khalil. I just thought that they had more of a pressing need to give somebody, to get a playmaker on offense. But that being said, Khalil has really developed much more quickly than I thought he would, given what I saw in training camp and in the first couple games of the preseason. He's getting double teamed quite often. For a rookie, he's really got a lot of respect to get that much attention from offensive coordinators. And yet, he still, last week, I think he had 11 tackles, which is his season high. The kid's flying around. They're asking him to do a lot of different things that he didn't do at Buffalo. At Buffalo, he was a straight edge rusher, came off the edge and go get the quarterback. The Raiders are asking him to do a lot of different things. He's really stood out to me in terms of his run defense. He might be the Raiders' best run defender in that front seven. He's just really, really sure tackler, plays well, plays within his, in the scheme, and fits in real nicely with what the Raiders need. Now, moving forward, what I would like to see him do is I would like to see him cut him a little bit more loose on passing downs. Let him go chase after the quarterback. He's the fastest linebacker you have. He and Theo Moore, and they need to start getting after the quarterback a lot more, especially now that Lamar Woodley is probably done for the year with a bicep injury. Justin Tuck's been battling a knee injury, so they're really thin up front in that front four. But if they can generate some pass rush with those guys, those linebackers, especially, like I said, Mack and maybe Theo Moore, that could help overcome what's going on in front. But yeah, everything about Mack screams this kid's going to be the real deal, and definitely made quicker progress than I did anticipate.
This game, I think, is going to come down to who can control the line of scrimmage, who can run the football more effectively, protect their quarterback. Now, the Raiders done a great job protecting the quarterback, but haven't done a good job of running the football or stopping the run. Is that where you kind of see the key to this game ultimately being determined?
Absolutely. In the games that the Raiders were competitive, they actually played decently in the trenches. The games that they've lost decidedly, they've gotten manhandled up front. So that's definitely going to be the difference here. And when you look at the Raiders, like you say, their pass protection has been just tremendous. Derek Carr, I believe, has only been sacked 5 or 6 times. I mean, the kid, he's for a rookie quarterback, the Raiders couldn't have asked any more in terms of protection from their guys up front. But the running game has not got off the ground like they'd like it to. And to me, that's a number of factors. Number one, the line's not really blocking well against the run. Number two, the backs are not really running effectively, although Darren McFadden has looked much better than he has in the last couple years. Maurice Jones-Drew just hasn't been a factor. He was hurt earlier in the year. They want to get him more involved. We'll see how that plays out. But the other thing is their running game is very basic when it comes to the play calling. Greg Olsen, their offensive coordinator, just doesn't do the things I think that he needs to do. Get McFadden out into space, get him around the edge. Instead, they have him running a lot between the tackles. So I think a lot of that has played into that. But they definitely need to get it going this week if they want to have any chance to get off that 0-6.
All right, Mike, it's a Call Your Shot Friday here on Cleveland Browns Daily. So how do you see this game turning out?
Well, I've said all along after last week, this is the Raiders' best and possibly only chance to get a win this year. If they lose this one, 0-16 is a very, very distinct possibility.
Oh, wow.
And I got to think the guys in that locker room know it. I got to think the coaching staff knows it. I think that they go into this game and play probably the best game they've played. And I think that I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be close. I think it comes down to something that happens in the last couple seconds. And I'm actually going to give the Raiders the edge, but I would not be surprised to see Cleveland, because Cleveland has looked good at times this year, whereas the Raiders haven't. So I'm going to, my head says probably go with Cleveland a little bit, but considering the circumstances, the Raiders realizing this is maybe their best and only chance to get a W, I'm going to go ahead and give it to them.
All right. Well, hopefully, Mike, no offense, hope you're wrong come Sunday and the Browns do get it done. But thanks for the great information on the Raiders, and good to talk to you again, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. That was Mike Wagman from Silver and Black Illustrated giving his take on the Raiders. He calls his shot for the Raiders. I don't like that.
Boo!
Let's go, Browns. All right. When we come back, let's get back to you. 216-578-0850. Light up those phone lines. Who needs to step up for the Browns? Call your shot and let us know what the Browns must do to win this game. Zagura, Wilhelm, Juravicious getting resuscitated after a Raiderific segment there here on CBD.